Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Microsoft Corporate Vice President, Brad Anderson.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. Thank you and welcome, you know, to the tens of thousands who are watching this live right now and the hundreds of thousands that are going to watch us over the coming weeks. We are so grateful that you would choose to spend this time with us. You know, it's a time of so much change in the industry. It's happening at an ever-accelerating pace. You know, we're certainly seeing this at Microsoft. And, you know, as you're aware, we've gone through some changes recently. And I can't even tell you the amount of excitement and energy inside the company right now as we look to Satya and his leadership. You know, many of you know for the last 3 years, I reported directly to Satya and had a chance to work with him. I'll tell you, there's no better leader. There's no better human being on the face of the earth. This is truly a remarkable individual that we're excited about. And at Microsoft, you know, we're heavily and busily engaged in building out how we're going to deliver innovation to you over the next 10 to 15 years. But before we go into that, let's kind of reflect back a little on the last 10 to 15 years and think about what we've seen is this explosion of these connected and intelligent devices all connecting to the cloud. You know, 15 years ago, we started to see just the explosion of PCs, and over the last 15 years, we've seen billions of new PCs deployed and connected. Cell phones, smart, intelligent devices we carry in our pockets, billions deployed over the last 15 years. And it's really interesting, in 2008, we actually hit a fascinating point in history where there were actually more intelligent connected devices in the world than there were human beings. Now we're at this hyperscale of growth where we are seeing the number of devices being deployed around the world growing at a rate we've never seen before. And depending upon whose analysis you look at, by 2020, we're going to have trillions of these devices that are alive, connected, sending data to the cloud that we're going to be able to then operate on top of. So this right here is the world that we live in. We're going to be living in a world where computing will truly be ubiquitous, and it's going to be all around us. And the amount of innovation, the amount of learning, the amount of knowledge that we're going to be able to have at our fingertips will truly be amazing. So what we're seeing is a growing number of users using a growing number of connected devices, using a growing number of applications. All this is just creating data. Data in amounts that in the past was just completely unimaginable. And as you think about how we're going to use that data and how we're going to bring it together, merge it, and pull those insights out, the cloud is going to be core to everything that we do. So our worldview is that the enterprises of today are going to live in an ever-connected world that is going to be highly dependent upon the cloud. And you know, in this intersection where mobility comes together with the cloud is where the transformational changes and the transformational innovation is going to occur. And I think right now we're just barely beginning to scratch the surface of what the possibilities are. Now, at Microsoft, again, we're working hard to make sure that we understand how we're going to change so that we can help all of you change as well. And I wanted to give you some insights into some of the most technical leaders at the company, individuals whom I admire, and how they see the world evolving specifically for you in the enterprise and the possibilities that's going to unlock. Let's take a view.
So our industry right now is at the formative phase. Innovation in all segments of business is about discovering patterns so that you can use those patterns to design new products, new businesses.
In this new world, we have so much information. Our phones are sensor platforms. I've got a Fitbit in my pocket. And the ability to bring this data together, it doesn't cost us anything to collect it. It costs us very little to store it now.
By being connected, these devices can now communicate with each other. These devices can learn. These devices can work on your behalf.
And all of a sudden, you have a confluence of two forces. Lots of compute power, lots of connectivity that allow you to hook things up, put a lot of data in a single place, run compute against it, algorithms, complexity, and so forth.
We have a company that has built a manufacturing site for a pretty well-known automobile. Through orchestrating these machines, they're able to build a complete chassis for the vehicle in 82 seconds.
What if we could digitize a forest, quote unquote, and the forest would start to give us data that we can keep forests healthy? The interesting thing is that we at least have two loops always. There's a loop between the device and the data and compute and so forth. And then there is a link to the human being.
There's a thing called the Parkinson's Voice Initiative, where someone has built a machine learning model that will detect early Parkinson's disease just based upon micro tremors in recorded voice.
As we make this transformation to a mobile-first, cloud-first world, you know, one of the things that's most important for us is how do we deeply engage customers throughout that journey?
People who are doing small business will be able to engage with their customers better. People working in large organizations will be able to collaborate with their peers and be able to meet people who they should be engaging with that they may not even know.
Very soon, thanks to the cloud, I will open my computer or whatever device I want to use, and the thing that's most important to me, the people that are most important to me, are what's going to surface there.
Winning companies are the companies that are very good at what they do, but that open the walls between what they do and what IT does and really combine the two.
The thing I would encourage everyone for is don't be afraid of it. Just jump on, because the ride is fun.
Start dreaming is really the big thing that I would add. If you don't dream, you won't get anywhere.
I love that statement at the end. If you don't dream, we won't go anywhere. So ladies and gentlemen, let's dream. Let's dream big and let's imagine what's possible as we bring all of this capacity and all this opportunity together. So our view again, mobile in a cloud world. And as we think about this, we are here to help you build enterprises that are mobile first and cloud first. Now, I know what many of you are thinking. How can there be two firsts? Well, the reality is they're one and the same. You know, you really cannot have a cloud without connected devices and vice versa. In fact, if you think about it, a cloud without intelligent devices connected to it is nothing more than untapped potential. And as you think about the connected devices, again, without that cloud, all that you have is potential that goes untapped. So let's now think about how we can work together and build that enterprise that is based upon mobile first and cloud first. And if you think about Microsoft's history, we really, for all of our time, have been focused on how we bring IT professionals, developers, and end users together. So what I literally hope to accomplish today is to walk you through the innovations that we're doing that bring these audiences, that bring these groups of people together, as well as the things that we're doing that help every one of these audiences, IT professionals, developers, and end users, get great value from the cloud. Now, in this mobile-first, cloud-first world, you don't have to move everything that you do to the public cloud to get value. But I tell you, the public cloud can bring value to everything you do. And that's the point that I want to make throughout the morning and prove to you as we go forward on this. So let's start with the IT professional. And when you think about it, all of what we're talking about here is based upon having that incredibly scalable and resilient and cost-effective infrastructure that all of these applications that our users are going to use is hosted on. So for the IT professionals of the world, you literally are at the center of this transformation. Now, as we think about what we want to do here to help you build this cloud-first, mobile-first, cloud-first enterprises, you know, for the vast majority of you, you're representative enterprises who are going to be consuming a combination of private, hosted, and public cloud as we go forward. And what I would encourage you to do as you want to drive and build this cloud culture inside of your organizations is to no longer think about these as separate, but literally think about the public cloud as a part of your data center. So I would submit the cloud is integral to your data center from this point forward. And the cloud is going to deliver things to you and enable you to do things you've never been able to deliver to your customers and to your end users in the past. So let's now talk about what we're going to do there. And to begin with, I want to make one specific point, because the organization that you choose to be your public cloud partner is one of the most critical and important decisions you're going to make on this journey. And as you're considering who your partner is going to be in the public cloud, there are three attributes, three sets of capabilities that I would suggest you require of your public cloud provider. Let me tell you why I think these are important. First is hyperscale. You want to partner with a public cloud provider that is literally deploying hundreds of thousands of servers per year, that is going through incredible growth. And ladies and gentlemen, there are only three organizations in the world that are operating at this kind of hyperscale. Microsoft's one of them. And the reason I think this is important is that kind of scale drives innovation. It drives the most innovation on the planet in terms of the infrastructure. And so looking to that public cloud and looking to that partner, you want to partner with the organizations that personally are going through all that innovation as they just try to survive the incredible growth that's happening, because that's going to be important to you in the future. You want a public cloud provider that literally has enterprise capabilities and an enterprise-grade cloud. An organization that is willing and able and is backing its SLAs financially. You know, we have so much confidence in our public cloud that we back it financially. If we don't deliver on our SLA, you don't pay us. And if you think about how this moves forward, and you think about the regulatory laws and the things that we're going to have to deal with from a data sovereignty perspective, an organization that understands the enterprise and understands those needs will build those capabilities natively into the public cloud. That's why enterprise grade is so successful, or so important. Microsoft stands alone in this place, in my opinion. And finally, you want an organization from a public cloud perspective that believes in and is delivering hybrid cloud capabilities. You want that ability to be able to build an application on any cloud, deploy in any cloud. You don't want to be locked in. You have to have that flexibility. This is also how all that innovation that's occurring in the public cloud with these hyperscale organizations can get delivered down to you to use in your data center, is through these hybrid cloud scenarios. I submit that if you take a look at these three requirements and ask yourself which public cloud provider operates at hyperscale, is enterprise grade, and believes and is delivering hybrid capabilities, Microsoft stands alone. And we want to be your partner as we do this. Let me just give you a couple of quick examples of some organizations that are using us in some hybrid scenarios. Walsh, a very large U.S. Construction firm, is using Active Directory and Azure Active Directory in a common identity across its private cloud, extending out into the public cloud in very unique ways. Paul Smith, just an iconic fashion brand, is using a combination of private cloud but also attaching to Azure. In fact, they have deployed a private cloud on Microsoft's Cloud OS, and they've seen a 200% increase in their density, and they've actually been able to decrease their disaster recovery time for their most mission-critical applications from 48 hours to 5 minutes using the disaster recovery capabilities that we deliver in our hybrid cloud solutions. Two other examples. NBC Olympics, with their broadcast of the Sochi Olympics, chose to host all of their streaming and their encoding on top of Azure. Literally broke every record in the books about the number of authenticated users, individual users around the world watching an athletic event during those 17 days, over 100 million authenticated users viewing high-definition streaming. Fascinating case study here, where you've got an organization that has invested billions of dollars that has to make that up and get a return in 17 days. And they chose to do that on top of Azure. And Blinkbox, this is an incredibly innovative video streaming organization in the UK that is in a pay-as-you-go model. Last year, they grew 245%, 245% growth in a single year. So as they were expanding and getting too big for their data center, they made the decision to move to Azure. They now have more than a petabyte of data stored in Azure, streaming that to their subscribers and the individuals who are coming up and consuming that content, all based on Azure and growing and growing. Now, one last organization I want to mention, and I think one of the most innovative things that I've seen this year in terms of an organization that stepped back and said, what could we do if we literally had unlimited computing power? How could we change our industry? How could we deliver the world's best game? So I would ask you, in your business, what could you do if you had unlimited computing power? Let me show you what Respawn did with Titanfall. Let's take a view.
Traditionally, building any sort of server technology has been pretty difficult for any developer. We saw cloud computing as an opportunity to introduce hands-off, scalable, on-demand resources so game developers could focus more on the game.
What that means is there's data centers all over the globe, and when you start up the game, it figures out where you are and what the best connection to which data center you have is. And it'll spin up a server, a dedicated server in a server farm for you. Fast connection with, you know, fast CPUs.
We can maximize what we're doing, knowing full well that on the back end, we have power there to take advantage of the game.
It makes matchmaking really quick, and then once you're in the game, it's a really consistent experience.
It's a more even experience. There's no host advantage. There's no worry about who's hosting what, and do we have to now reserve performance on everybody's machine?
So you don't have people doing lag switch killing. You don't have host migration. You have just solid gameplay that's fair for everybody. If anyone asks for a server, just throw them a server. And then we replenish that pool from the cloud. And so when we need another one, we just grab it down, put it in our pool, and then hand it out to somebody. So it's this constantly available set of servers all over the globe for anyone.
But one of the things we're seeing that's really amazing about Titanfall is the idea that a lot of the AI and the non-player character is actually powered by the server.
That would not be feasible to do on a game that's client-hosted.
For the first time, I think users are seeing why server technology is really going to make next-generation gaming that much better.
About a company changing the game, no pun intended. You know, just a phenomenal example of a hybrid scenario in probably an application you wouldn't even think about. But I can tell you, day one when this went live, it was such an exciting day as Microsoft, as we all came in and we saw that there were well over 100,000 virtual machines up and running around the globe supporting Titanfall. You know, and then as the game, you know, has become available on other platforms, you know, just boom, you see the number of VMs accelerate up and grow. You're talking about an organization here of less than 150 employees that is now has hundreds of thousands of VMs running around the world supporting gaming in a way never before imagined. And I'll tell you, one of the most interesting things we heard on day one was there was a sickness that swept the world called Titan Flu, and a lot of people were calling in sick that day, my boys included. So let's talk a little bit about the infrastructure, about the cloud. First of all, it all begins with what we do in Azure. In Azure, we have 16 different regions. You know, the amount of growth is unbelievable. We are deploying a new core every 5 seconds around the globe. And then we use this platform to host services like Azure Active Directory. The last several months, Azure Active Directory is servicing 2 billion authentications a day. A day, 2 billion authentications as organizations are embracing the cloud and embracing Azure Active Directory for their authentication. Then we take everything that we learn, everything that we do inside of Azure, and we bring it out to all of you to run in your data centers. And we start seeing these Azure compatible and Azure consistent clouds being built around the globe. Right here, you see a view of just the 20 partners that are a part of the CloudOS network. But we have service provider partners around the globe, again, building these clouds that are consistent and compatible with Azure. And then if you look at any enterprise data center, the foundation of all those data centers around the globe is Windows Server. So literally what you see happening right here is you see a network of compatible clouds being built in private, in hosted, and in the public cloud. And this is important to you because you are not locked in. You have that flexibility to move, to adjust, to expand, to grow, to shrink. You have the flexibility to respond to the needs of the business in a way that's never been before possible. That's why it's so important that we continue to deliver on our promise of consistency across clouds to give you that kind of flexibility. Now, what I wanted to give you a view here, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time in this section, is I wanted to give you a view of the work that we're doing to help you embrace the cloud in these hybrid scenarios. So I want to walk through the things that we've been doing in terms of infrastructure, applications, and then disaster recovery that help you to connect to the cloud and run in these hybrid environments to get that value we've been talking about. Let's start with infrastructure. First thing I would call your attention to is just look at the list of capabilities that are available that allow you to make Azure a part of your data center. You know, things like the work that we've done around Azure Active Directory and allowing you to expand out to the cloud. A little bit later, we're going to cover this new set of capabilities that we call the Cloud App Discovery Preview and show you the amazing power that's going to bring to you as you get to understand the cloud apps that your users are using. From a compute standpoint, you know, our IaaS is 100% compatible across the different cloud places, you know, private, hosted, and virtual. And today we're announcing what we call compute-intensive VMs, more memory, more virtual machines. This gives you the capability to have a 40 gigabit InfiniBand access with RDMA within region and across region in Azure, enabling you to build out these high-performance, high-scale applications. As we think about networking, you know, one of the most common requests we have from organizations that are really embracing the cloud in big ways is they want to have dedicated links that are high speed because they're moving so much information back and forth between their clouds. So today we're announcing the general availability of what we call ExpressRoute. And ExpressRoute allows you to establish that dedicated connection. And we've done this in partnership with a number of telecom organizations around the world. So AT&T, Verizon, BT, Equinix, Singtel, Telecity, and Zadara. And one of the things that differentiates what we've done from others in the market is you can just add this to your existing MPLS contract or your MPLS WAN. And we're also redundant. Literally, we provision two circuits with every single connection so you have that redundancy for this high connection, dedicated pipe that you have. And on storage, much of the innovation that we're doing in Azure is coming in the place of storage, where inside of Azure, we run just direct attached spinning media, literally the lowest cost storage that we can find. And then we use software to deliver on the high availability and the resiliency that is needed and is required. You know, last year we talked about Store Simple. I will tell you, Store Simple and that ability to be able to use Azure as a tier for your files, one of the most successful acquisitions in the history of the company. It's just been amazing to be a part of that. Today we're also announcing the preview of what we call Azure Files. So think of now having a shared and common storage in Azure with an SMB protocol head to it that all your VMs in Azure, all the applications that you're writing, can now use in a shared manner, going into preview today that you can start to take advantage of. So innovations in a hybrid environment across identity, compute, networking, storage. Let's talk a little bit here about applications for a minute, some of the work that we're doing from an application standpoint. First of all, applications always require a database. And some of the innovation that we've done in the new version of SQL 2014, are nothing short of remarkable. With the in-memory capabilities that we released a month ago, we are seeing a 30x increase in performance without rewriting your application on the exact same hardware. You know, 30x, I don't think it sounds anywhere near as impressive as when you say a 3,000% increase in the performance of your application. Okay? Amazing technology in SQL. Two things I want to talk about real quick and then give you a demonstration of one of them. We're announcing today, going into preview, Azure Redis Cache. So literally think about having an in-memory distributed managed cache that helps you to build these highly performant and highly scalable and responsive applications. This is now included in Azure, and we've built this on the open source work that's been done around Redis Cache. Also, we're putting into preview something that we call SLA management. Imagine now being able to take the capabilities you have in your data center or in the public cloud, building an API on that, and then exposing the capabilities that you have running in your data center out to your partners and out to your customers in a controlled manner. That's what API management allows us to do, and it now allows us to unlock the value that we've been building in our data centers for years and share that, and now in collaboration with our partners and customers, build these incredible applications that can now cross the boundaries of our clouds. This is something I think is important for you to see. So what I'd like to do is now give you a view of what we're putting into preview in the API management for Microsoft Azure. Please welcome Josh to the stage.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Brad. Thanks. One of our launch customers for Azure API management is Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Wellmark are a mutual insurance that serve 2 million members and are part of a trusted national network that serve over 100 million people in the US. We worked with them on a business problem. They wanted to make it easy for their corporate customers to integrate Wellmark's data and services into their own employee-facing experiences. This is the best experience for Wellmark's members because they can find a provider, agent, or dentist in their existing employee portal. Let me show you how our solution, Azure API Management, can help you manage an API program. What I want to start with is Wellmark's partner-facing developer portal. This is where partners come to learn and find how to use Wellmark's APIs, and the entire experience is powered by Azure API Management. Notice how it can be themed to exactly match their brand. And the documentation here that we can see that actually helps developers to learn how to use the API is dynamically generated by API definitions stored in the API management system. And for developers in the room, actually, if you want to know how to call this API, then we can even generate code samples for you. So if you want to know how to call this from a Ruby backend, just click this button, and there's the code you need to invoke this API. So all of this comes together to create a great experience for Wellmark's partners when they need to integrate into their solution. Now, as an IT professional, I need to manage this API program. So let me show you our publisher experience. And this is where IT professionals can securely publish APIs of their choosing. So here's the Finder API that we were just looking at. And as I drill through the options, you'll see sort of the powerful configuration and data available. As I drill into a particular operation, let me give you one example of some of the cool stuff you can do here. So with just the click of a checkbox, I can enable caching. And that's going to improve the performance, reduce the response time, and reduce the load on the back end. Now, as an IT manager, I may be concerned about how I protect my API. Let me show you how we have you covered with our powerful policy configuration system. So go to policies here. What we're going to do now is apply a policy that adds a rate limit to the API. Policies allow me to change the behavior of the API easily. And we have a vast list of policy statements to choose from format conversion between XML and JSON, all the way up to quota enforcement. And the one we're going to apply now, so we're going to choose a product here. I'm going to add a policy. And I'm going to drop in the limit call rate policy. So here it is. I'm just going to configure this now. What it's going to do is limit the number of calls coming from a given partner to, let's say, 3 within a 60-second period. You can choose any values you like. I hit save, and that's pushed out now to our API proxies. So to show you that in action, I want to switch back to the developer portal and show you my favorite feature of the portal. So I'm going to find the provider by zip API, and I'm going to introduce you to our developer console. This is an interactive console that, again, is generated by the API management platform that allows partners to learn how the API works by interacting with it in real time. So here I'm going to enter a zip code, 50316. I'm going to choose a subscription key, which identifies me as a developer. And then I'm going to hit get. And that's going to invoke the real API straight away. So there we go. We see we got an OK response. I can see all the headers and a beautiful list of providers that are available to me. Now, you'll remember that just a few seconds ago, we implemented rate limiting on this API. So if I hit this just a few more times, let's give it a couple of hits, we'll see that we get a different response on the fourth request. And there we go. Here's the different response now. It says, too many requests. And if I move down a little bit, let me zoom out here. If I scroll down, we'll see that we get some more data on that. It says, rate limit is exceeded. Try again in 38 seconds. All done with just a click of configuration. Now, as an IT professional who's managing and charged with managing this API program, I need insights into trends, usage, and health of my API. Let me show you how we have you covered with our analytics. So I'm going to click over on analytics here. And we get an at-a-glance view of activity on the API with details of errors, calls, response time. I can see the developers by organized by successful calls, bandwidth, and more. Or I can drill in for even more usage details, where I can see calls on a separate graph and bandwidth, geographical distribution of where these calls are coming from. So let's click on the USA, and we'll see a state-by-state view. So what we've shown is how Azure API Management can help you protect an API, get insights into your API program, and also have an awesome developer portal that makes it easy for your partners to integrate. This is available today in the Azure portal. So we challenge you to find how you can unlock the value in your data and services in your business. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Josh. So just to recap, you saw now how we can actually take things that we've learned in Azure, but apply it to your data centers. And you're going to hear this theme throughout the day of how do we help you unlock the information and the data and the capacity and the knowledge that resides in your organization, resides in your data center. And using API management, you can certainly do that. Okay, so let's move on to the third area I wanted to talk about in terms of a hybrid architecture as we embrace this cloud culture. Now let's talk about disaster recovery for a minute and business continuity. So first of all, you know, with SQL 2014, we released a set of capabilities that we call Always On that gives you that ability to keep a spare copy that's fully replicated and synchronized in the cloud with SQL. Today, we're announcing a couple of things that I think are really intriguing and actually are very relevant, as it's actually one of the number one things we hear from all of you in terms of requests. First of all, we're introducing anti-malware now into Azure. So you can use the Microsoft anti-malware capabilities. Thank you. You can use these anti-malware capabilities to protect your VMs, as well as protect the Azure applications that you're building. We're also announcing that in conjunction with Trend Micro and Symantec, we're introducing additional security offerings and capabilities into Azure. The other thing we're announcing is what we call encrypted storage for Office 365. And you're going to love what this does. As you embrace Office 365 and you start to use OneDrive for Business, what this provides is the ability to actually have every single file that is stored in OneDrive for Business encrypted with its own key. So driving additional security and additional confidence as you embrace these cloud services that you know that your content, that you know that the assets of your company are safe and secure. Finally, I want to talk about what we call Azure Site Recovery. Formerly, we called this Hyper-V Replication Manager. What this provides is the ability for you to set up disaster recovery capabilities. Now, what we're adding into preview, and this will be coming in June, is the ability to have Azure be your location where you actually store the copy for disaster recovery. This is the number one request that we've heard from organizations that are using Hyper-V Replication Manager today. And with this, you have the ability for you to now have a complete disaster recovery solution with the ability to seamlessly fail over, either in an unplanned or planned manner, to Azure. And one of the things that really differentiates what we've done from anybody else in the market is it's drop-dead simple. You can take this and apply it to all of your workloads and your services in your data center. You know, historically, disaster recovery has been something that's been reserved for only the most mission-critical applications for most organizations because it's too expensive and it's too difficult. You're going to see here in a minute the simplicity of this, and I would encourage you, let's have disaster recovery for every one of the offerings in our company, every one of the offerings that your users and your customers are using. And finally, with the incredible automation capabilities that we have, Azure is able to monitor the health of your virtual machines. And when it detects that something is wrong, automatically launch a set of instructions and automation to conduct that failover. Okay, you want to take a look at it? Okay, so do me a favor and welcome Matt. He's going to give you a view of site recovery with Microsoft Azure. Welcome, Matt.
Good morning. Good morning. There we go. Back in January, we announced the general availability of Hyper-V Recovery Manager, a Microsoft Azure-based solution that enables you to protect your core workloads and applications by orchestrating the replication and recovery of your on-premises private clouds to a secondary location. But what if you don't have a secondary location? Well, today, I'm pleased to give you the very first look at a new capability we're bringing to Microsoft Azure Site Recovery, specifically replication and recovery of your on-premises private clouds into the Microsoft Azure data centers. So let's take a look. Now, what we have on the screen here is our Site Recovery dashboard. And under Usage Overview, you'll see we're not only protecting a number of Contoso VMs between our on-premises locations, but we're protecting a greater number of VMs into the Microsoft Azure data centers. And if we drill into protected items here, you'll see we've got a number of protected clouds, all existing on-premises, managed by System Center. And what you'll notice on the right-hand side is four of them are already being replicated and recoverable into Microsoft Azure. If we drill into the production cloud here, you'll see we're protecting a number of our key workloads, Active Directory, file servers, applications, SQL servers, all centrally configured for replication and recovery using Site Recovery. You'll notice on the right, they're ready for failover in the event the need arises. Now let's take a look at the configuration of this cloud. And you'll see the target is Microsoft Azure. And if we scroll down, you'll see some of the granular and flexible features that our customers and IT pros have asked for, with replication intervals down to every 30 seconds, 5 minutes or 15 minutes, up to 15 additional recovery points, and integration with app-consistent VSS-aware snapshots. You'll also notice, if we zoom in here, support for encryption at rest, ensuring you can meet your regulatory and compliance requirements. Now, that's great that we're replicating our VMs, but one of the most complex parts of configuring a DR plan is networking. But fortunately, Site Recovery makes it easy. If we'll click on Resources, and we'll see we're in the Networks view here, I'll select my on-premises location that I want to map my networks from, and choose my target location, in this case, Azure, where I'd like to map my networks to. And you'll see I've got a number of on-premises networks mapped to some pre-created Azure virtual networks. And we just need to map the very last one that I've created in advance. So I'm going to select map, choose my target network in Azure for my marketing network, in this case, marketing DR. And this ensures that when VMs fail over, they're failing over and they're able to connect as you'd expect. So we'll OK that, and that'll take a few minutes in the background. Now, we've talked about replication and recovery, and we've talked about mapping our networks. But how do we ensure that in the event of a failover, our VMs fail over in an orchestrated and controlled way? Because the last thing we want in the event of an outage is to bring your VMs online one by one manually. And that's where recovery plans come in. If we have a look at our recovery plans here, you'll see we've got a couple, one that relates to our on-premises replication and recovery, and another that's focused on recovery into Azure. And I'll click on this one here, and you'll see it's a series of orchestrated steps executed in a particular order. And in the event of a planned failover, where our primary site is still online, we'll first shut the VMs down cleanly, replicate the Delta changes, and then we'll start the failover. And you'll see we're executing in groups here. First, our AD, Active Directory Domain Controllers, then our file servers, and then our SQL servers that rely on those file servers to be online. And then we get our line of business apps coming online, apps, web servers, line of business apps. Because these are important and critical to our operations, I've actually injected, after that group, what's known as a manual action. And in this case, if we bring up that view, you'll see it's actually asking somebody to physically do something. In this case, the line of business owner is going to log in, check that his app is working, and then as soon as he's happy with it, he can click OK, and the recovery plan will continue from there. So let's close that out, and we'll see our final virtual machines be brought online. You'll see here, it's if I zoom in, it's not only Windows, it's Linux-based virtual machines as well. And then last, and in many cases least, our marketing virtual machines. Now, if we back out of there, you'll see it's incredibly easy to configure. But how do we initiate a failover? Well, before I initiate, it's important that we test. And you'll see down here, we provide support for testing, because you want to know that your DR and your recovery plans execute as expected. And this doesn't impact your primary site. And best of all, you can test as much as you need to. Now, to initiate a failover, I'll select failover. I'll choose planned, because our primary site is still online in this case. Now, before I execute, because this is a cloud service displayed in a rich HTML5 interface, I could be accessing this from my PC, my tablet, my smartphone, or even my Xbox One, whatever's convenient. And to initiate failover, I simply click. And that is the power of Microsoft Azure Site Recovery. And with that, I'll hand back to Brad. Thank you.
Just awesome stuff. You know, again, taking disaster recovery and being able to apply it to every single one of your workloads. And this capability, again, to be able to use Azure as your disaster recovery zone will be in preview in June. Just going to tell you a couple of anecdotes about this. One of the wonderful things about operating these cloud services is we get the telemetry back and we can see what's working, what's not working. We can refine and improve. And it's one of those things that is just incredibly rewarding. As a weekly, I get a chance to go dive through all this telemetry, and I take a look where anywhere between 3 to 5% of all the VMs around the world that are being protected with these capabilities have failed over. And every week when I see those statistics and I see that it's been 100% success, I got to tell you, I'm just filled with joy as I think about the value that we're bringing to organizations around the world. Okay, so we've been talking a lot about kind of maybe the cloud side of pieces. Let's talk a little bit about the mobile side of the pieces now for a little bit. And just like I made the statement about the cloud being integral to your data center, ladies and gentlemen, the cloud is going to be integral to all your enterprise mobility solutions as you move forward. These devices that every one of us bring into the office every single day, you know, we have these devices, they're lit up and they're made alive with all the applications that we download onto them, they're personalized, they really become an extension of who we are. And then every one of us comes into the office with these personal devices, and we want to have the same kind of incredible experience where I can collaborate, discover, find, and engage with individuals around me in the work environment just like I have in my personal environment. And that's the challenge that we all have. And the challenge that all of you have as you enable this is, how do you enable users to be productive on all the devices they love while also keeping the company secure? That actually is our vision statement that we have for this area. Literally, our vision around enterprise mobility is to enable all of you to enable your users to be productive on all the devices they love while keeping the company secure. So let me walk you through how we're doing this. Now, as you think about your needs as you enable this, there are three big categories that I would propose you need to have. And what I hope you see as I go through this over the next few minutes is the breadth to which we are investing and what we're bringing to help you from a mobility perspective is far and away more broad, more rich, more deep than any of the other mobile device management players on the market today. So let me walk through it. It all begins with identity. And what you want to be able to do is leverage the investment you've made in Active Directory for a decade or more, and you want to be able to extend that out to the cloud. And when I say extend it out to the cloud, you want to be able to have that identity be common and used across all the SaaS apps your employees are using around the world. Now, let me give you a fascinating data point here. We're going to show you here in a couple of minutes the ability for us to actually give you a view of the SaaS apps that your employees are using within your company. And as we've worked with our early adopters on this, one of the questions we like to ask before we actually go run this is we ask, how many SaaS apps do you think your employees are using? And do you think they have any idea? Probably don't. They'll tell us, oh, I think they're probably using 25, where on average what we find is there are over 250 SaaS apps that employees are using in a given company completely unmanaged. So we're going to help you bring all those SaaS applications under management, enabling single sign-on for the users as well as management for the IT professionals. Then we have to do a wonderful job of doing device management and application management. And this is all about how you protect and enable the users on these devices. So device protection through mobile device management, and then application protection and the application of the files that are being used within those applications through mobile application management. Now let me ask you the question. What's the first app everyone wants to bring under management on these mobile devices and protect? What's the first app? Email, right? I see everyone's head nodding. The number of times that I've spoke to customers that have said, if only I had Outlook on my iPad for my users, if only I had Outlook on my Android devices for my users, I could give my users such a better experience from what they're currently getting today, where I force down on them a custom-built email application that is nowhere near as functional as what Outlook could provide. So what you're going to see here, and you're going to do this demonstration in two different parts today, we are telling you that we are going to be bringing to the market a set of containers and application wrappers this calendar year on iOS and on Android that's going to allow you to bring your applications under management and manage what happens with the data that's using those applications. And wait until you see what we're doing with Office and how we're going to bring those beautiful Office applications on your iPad and Android and Windows devices under management in a way that gives your users the absolute best experience on their mobile devices of anyone in the market. Finally, we believe in a layered approach to protection. Mobile device management allows you to protect the device. Mobile application management allows you to protect the application and the data in that application. But we also think you need to have a tier of protection where the protection actually travels with the file. So in our data protection, we have a set of capabilities that we call Azure Rights Management Service. And what it allows us to do is actually embed inside of the data file the actual protection and access rights. Let me give you just a very real example, okay? My name's Brad Anderson. You know, I'm sorry to say that's not a very unique name. You know, many of you probably know of other Brad Andersons in the industry, you know, such as the former CEO of Best Buy and the former head of the Dell Server Division. I can't tell you the number of times when I have received email destined for one of them where Autofill put my name in rather than theirs. Okay? That is accidental data leakage protection. With what we're delivering to the market, again, across Windows, iOS, and Android, if that sort of thing were to happen, it doesn't matter because the access rights and privileges and permissions actually travel in the file. The file protects itself. And we know from the telemetry that we get from Office 365 that as we've done this work across all the Office applications and Adobe, we are actually providing this kind of protection in over 70% of all the data files that are used inside of the enterprise today. So a tiered model that allows you to get insights into, you know, the device protection, the application protection, as well as data protection. And this now allows you to enable your users across all the devices that they love and extends your identity management out into the cloud. Now let me talk about how we bring this to the market. You know, back in March, Satya announced the release of the iPad applications from Office. In that same event, he also announced what we call the Enterprise Mobility Suite. The Enterprise Mobility Suite is where we bring all these capabilities that give you the world's best solution for enterprise mobility management. And we've also done innovation about how we package and price it. We know you don't want to have to count devices. So we actually bring this to market at $4 per user per month, independent of the number of devices that they have. Okay, so for $4 per user per month, you can get all of these rich capabilities that I just talked about, enable your users across all their devices, and let them just go crazy and bring in whatever devices they want to have to come into work, because they're going to be more happy, they're going to be more satisfied, and they're going to be more productive. Let me talk about one other innovation that we're bringing that has to do with application management. Every one of you has got vast inventories of applications that you need to deliver down to your users. Many of those applications are Windows-based applications that you now need to deliver down to personal devices, again, across iOS, Android, and Windows. One of the number one requests we get from organizations is, we don't want to have to build out the infrastructure to be able to host the ability to remote applications to my users' devices. I want you to do that in Azure. So today we're putting into preview Azure Remote App. This is literally a re-architecture, a rewrite of remote desktop services that's been built expressly to run inside of Azure and has been built to take advantage of all the incredible enterprise-grade capabilities of Azure. This now gives you the ability, you're going to be able to upload your line of business applications up into Azure and then have those remoted down to your users' devices, again, across Windows, iOS, and Android. Available today, because we're delivering this as a service, you're going to see us iterating on this at a rate that's unbelievable, bringing new value constantly. So stay tuned to this. You're going to see us bring a lot of value that many of you are going to have questions about. Now, one interesting data point I'll tell you about this. Back in October, we released the clients or the applications for RDS on Mac, iOS, and Android. Since October, we've had more than 4 million downloads of those applications across the stores with spectacular ratings. Okay, you want to see some of this? Okay, so what we're going to do here is we're now going to show you what it means to extend your identity, have identity management in the context of enterprise mobility, and Azure Remote App. Adam, welcome.
Malcolm. Thank you, Brad. Good morning, everybody. Now, as I'm sure you're all aware, Active Directory is the primary authentication mechanism in over 90% of businesses around the world. As an IT pro, identity more than ever is how you are going to control how users get access to data and to applications. I'm going to show you today how our hybrid identity solutions centered around Active Directory and Azure Active Directory are going to help you do this in your business. I'm going to start here as a user, and I'm going to log on to a SaaS application. By way of example, Office 365. I enter my user ID and click Next. Now, the first thing you're going to see is that I'm redirected to a corporate sign-in page. Here I can enter my corporate credentials, the same ones that I use in the office every day, sign in, and be granted access to the application, in this case, my mailbox. Now, I want you to stop and just think about what you just saw. A user went to a SaaS application, entered their Active Directory credentials, and was granted access to the application. We can achieve this because we have connected our on-premises Active Directory to Azure Active Directory. This is the Azure Active Directory administration portal. Our company is using Azure Active Directory to provide a single sign-on for all of our applications, on-premises and in the cloud. One of the capabilities that we provide with Azure Active Directory are security reports. These security reports are built using machine learning, and we run these across all of the authentications that happen against Azure Active Directory. We do this at incredible scale. In the time it takes me to say this sentence, Azure Active Directory will have completed 100,000 authentications. That's over 2 billion per day. That's incredible scale. Here you see some of the reports that are there. I can see things like users with anomalous sign-in activity. This is where a user is operating in one mode, and then for some strange reason, something unusual happens and something else happens, potentially a breach. I can see users who are possibly signing in from infected devices, maybe with viruses or malware. And the report that I want to show you today is the sign-in from multiple geographies. This report, which I like to refer to as the impossible travel report, shows me users who have logged in from two geographic locations
where it's not possible to get between those locations in a given time frame. Here I can see this rather suspicious user, Adam Hall, has apparently managed to log on from France and the United States in under 2 minutes. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty sure that I can't get from France to the United States in under 2 minutes with any known transport to man. So the most likely outcome here is that a bad guy has compromised my user account and is using it to impersonate me around the world. As an administrator, I want to be able to take a response to that. I can either reset the user's password, or I can enforce a multi-factor authentication. In either case, the bad guy gets locked out, and the user has to re-verify their identity before they're allowed to access any more corporate information. So we have all this information about users, we can see what they're doing, but where do the user accounts come from? If I move across to the users list, here I see all of the users in my organization, regardless of where they are originated. And I can use this list to grant users access to applications. The question I have, though, is what applications are they accessing? In a recent survey, over 80% of users admitted that they were using non-approved SaaS applications to get their job done at work. 80% non-approved. As an administrator, that's a big problem for me. These users are storing and accessing applications that I don't know where they are, and I have no way of controlling access to that data. I'd like to introduce you to the Cloud App Discovery tool. This is a tool that, as an administrator, allows me to see what applications my users are accessing. I can see how many applications they're using, and I can drill in and see not only which applications they're accessing, but how many users are accessing each of these applications. This allows me to work with my business to prioritize which applications we want to bring under corporate control first. Once I understand which applications to bring under control, I can use Azure Active Directory, which contains a gallery of nearly 1,300 SaaS applications, to pre-configure these apps so that my users can get single sign-on using their Active Directory credentials. I can even delegate this down to a business application owner and allow them to control which users can access the applications. Now, speaking of getting access to applications, something that I'm very excited to show you today for the very first time is Azure Remote App. This is a new service, as Brad mentioned, that's in preview from today. My company is using Azure Remote App to deliver our applications running on Windows Server, leveraging the power and the scale of Azure. I can publish access to applications that my users can launch and run from anywhere on a wide range of devices using the Microsoft Remote Desktop clients. Azure Remote App is a cloud service, and it will automatically scale up and scale back down based on the load that my users are doing on it. Now, we'll be talking a lot more about Remote App in Foundation Session 02, straight after the keynote, and in breakout sessions throughout the week. So guys, Microsoft is delivering amazing enterprise mobility capability, enabling you to deliver self-service and single sign-on in your businesses today. Thank you, have a great tech ed, and I look forward to catching up with you during the week.
Brad. Hey, thanks, Adam.
All right, identity management, Azure Remote App. Let us worry about the scaling. Let us worry about the headaches of managing a supply chain and building out the infrastructure for you to be able to host all your applications and then remote them down to the different devices. You know, one word here as well is, you know, you'll see us continue to work with our long-term partner Citrix in this area as well. And we'll continue to work with them on what they announced last week of all their workspace services coming to Azure, as well as areas around this Azure Remote App as we go forward. So look forward to that as well.